Got your Bible. Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. So 1 Samuel. And we're coming here. Most of you are here to celebrate Mother's Day, right? Going out to dinner maybe afterwards or going over to Mom's house and spend the day with her. I got to call my mom as soon as we get back to make sure I don't forget to call her, because then I'll be in the doghouse if I don't. So, but moms are, they're special. They have a lot of influence. Sometimes moms have more influence than dads do, because they can pull the child alongside of them and give them love where the dad is supposed to be all rough and tough and, you know, get back up, jump back up, keep going. But moms are able to come in and show the love, the compassion side. And that can speak into a child's heart real quickly. I've got some quotes from some people about how they felt about their mom or what their mom did for them. First is George Washington. Said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. And I owe to my mother. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, the intellectual, and the physical education I received from her." First president is saying that. Then this one is Condoleezza Rice. She said, "My parents elected me president of the family when I was 4 years old." Imagine that. She's four and she's running a family. So we actually had an election every year, and I always won. I'm an only child, and I could count on my mom's vote every year. That speaks volumes for moms, because they're going to do for their daughters or sons, especially if they're only children. This one I thought was kind of fitting. "My mother was a reader, and she read to us. She read to us Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when I was 6 and my brother was 8, and I never forgot it." Stephen King wrote that. I think that's kind of appropriate for him, that his mom, you see what I mean by moms have such influence? Because he is known as a horror writer. Reading Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at age 6, I can understand. And then this last one's from Abraham Lincoln. He said, "I remember my mom's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." And I think that's true. Mom's prayers can cling to us all the way through. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, because the book of 1 Samuel, the very first chapter in here, deals with Hannah and how she used prayer to come before God. So your big idea that today is our prayers are the key to action by God. Our prayers are the key to action by God. So let me pray, and then after that we'll go ahead and get started. Lord, I thank you that we can come here today and we can open your word and we can see how a mother prayed for her child even before she had the child. Lord, I pray that we can learn from this, whether it's mothers, fathers, or anybody. Because Lord, this applies to all of us. So help us right now just to put everything else out of the way, not worry about what's for dinner a little bit later on. Lord, help us just right now to focus on you and the words that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're starting in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "There was a certain man from Ramathan-Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeraham, the son of Ehelhun, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite." That's a mouthful right there. Y'all are glad that I'm reading this and y'all aren't reading this, right? Okay. All right. "And he had two wives. The one was Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. An arrival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because God had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? We're going to stop right there and let's do some background information first so that we can understand what's going on here. So Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Now, Hannah most likely was the first wife. Why do I say that? She's listed first. So when you would list people, you always went first to last. You never went alphabetical or anything like that. It was always by who came first. So she most likely was the first wife. But we can see in here that the Lord had closed her womb. She wasn't able to have kids. And in that day and age, it was important to have children because most of them, they were working, it was a family business, and you needed children. So when you couldn't have children, the custom for those days was that if your wife was barren, that you would marry another woman and that she could have the children for you. So back then, they didn't have all the medical advances that we did today. They did what they thought they could do back then. So that's what the background of this is. And we can see that her husband is a man of God because it says that he went to sacrifice to the Lord yearly, which is what Deuteronomy talks about, is that each family should go before the temple yearly and sacrifice, and that's what he's doing. So we can tell that he is a godly man by what he's doing there. And we can see here that Hannah and Peninnah, they were rivals. They didn't like each other. In fact, verse 6 flat out says that her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And that the word here, bitterly, in the Hebrew, it's not one word, it's actually two words. Because they wanted to express how bitterly she was towards her. So I think the English, it doesn't do it justice by just reading bitterly. This meant that she was trying to provoke her to anger. She's trying to stir things up. She's trying to get her mad. She's trying to have that anger outcast or forced there. But not only that, but it also says she provoked her bitterly and then to irritate her, and that irritate means to beat her down. She's wanting to beat her down, the rivals, and she's trying to win at all costs. And she's doing whatever she can to win. That's the background for this story. But now we can see Hannah's condition right now. Because in her condition, it says in verse 7, it said, it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So every year when they came and they would start giving out the food, and she would get a double portion. And I'm sure that provoked some anger there. But then it said she wept and would not eat. So this was bothering her so much that she couldn't even eat. Now, do you know those people? Some people, you've got two types of people. One type, when they get stressed, they eat. You know those type of people? And then you've got, on the other side, you've got other people, when they get stressed, they don't eat. You know those type of people? The interesting thing is, my parents, they were opposites. And it's funny, as a kid growing up, I would watch them, and when something would happen in our house, like somebody had to go to the doctor or a hospital visit or something like that, and it was stressful time, My dad's over here on this side, and he's going through the fridge. What we got? Well, it's time to eat, right? My mom's over here on this side, and she's looking at him like, how in the world can you eat at a time like this? Is that all you think about is food? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he's like, are you hungry? Because you need to eat. You need to keep your strength up. And she's like, I can't eat right now. And I just got to sit back there in the back, just kind of sit back and watch all of this happen as a kid. And we kind of laugh and snicker about it. And I got to see how two types of people were and that they're opposites. Well, that's where Hannah is right now, is that she's so upset that she can't eat. She's one of those that food is that has no appeal to her right now. And we can see that the Elkanah, it came to her and he said, he tries to console her the best that he could. And he said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He's trying to say, I'm a good husband to you, right? I treat you nice. Why are you so upset? Mothers, y'all know that having kids is like one thing that you always desire, it seems like. And a husband consoling is not going to help. That needs to be something that you go before the Lord for. So how would you react in this situation? Have you ever had somebody try to provoke you to anger? I mean, they're there and they're sending those little stabs all the time, just trying to provoke you to anger all the time. It can happen in families. It can happen in a work situation. It can happen between friends. It can happen any time you get more than two people together. You're always going to have somebody left out. And because of that, there's always going to be anger and provokes. And that's what's happening here. So how would you handle that? We're going to see how Hannah handled that this morning. See, she did the only thing that she knew she could do. She cries out to God. She cries out to Him and lets Him fight her battle for her. Because it's easy for us to try to fight our own battles, especially for men, because we think we're the men, we need to fight the battle. But God's more capable than we are of fighting the battle. And we're going to see that today. So the first thing that she does is on your outline, it says, Hannah prayed honestly to God. She prayed honestly to God. And we can see that starting in verse 9, it says, Hannah rose after eating and drinking. So he got her to eat, he got her to drink. And then now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affection of your maidservant and remember me, and do not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued to pray before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth, And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, and only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine for you. But Hannah replied, No, my Lord, I am a woman obsessed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. And then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So what does Hannah do? She goes to God, and she pours out her heart to God. She doesn't leave anything out. She pours it all out. She lets Him know everything that's going on. And that's what it is to pray honestly to God. Because see, God doesn't want us to put up a front. God's a whole lot smarter than we are. He knows where we're at. He knows where each one of you are in your lives right now. And if we try to come to Him and put up a front that we're okay, He knows we're lying to Him. He wants us to come to Him and honestly speak our mind, is what He's wanting. But see, a lot of people, what they'll do is that they say, well, I've got to get better to a certain point, and then I can come to God. You ever heard people talk about that? Well, I know that I've got to get right, and I'm going to do this on my own, and once I'm better, then I'll come back to God. That's the opposite of what God wants. God says, I know you're right here, and you're hurting right here, and you're going through something right here that you can't fix on your own. I'm willing to meet you right here, right where you're at. Don't worry about trying to get all the way over here and be a whole lot better and then come meet me. I want to meet you right over there where you're at and help you get to this point. So she comes to him and she prays honestly. But here's the thing too, that a lot of people don't, it's almost like they forget about this. When we go to pray to God, God already knows what we're going to pray about. You ever thought about that? When you go to pray to God, He already knows what you're going to ask. He already knows how you're going to ask. He already knows what His answer is going to be. God's not bound by time. And He knows where we're at in each part of our life. So that when we're coming praying to Him, it's not surprising Him. He already knows. It's almost like this one time with my kids. We were in Texas, and one of our favorite restaurants to go to was this Mexican restaurant called Polito's. If there was one thing about Texas I wish I could move to South Carolina, it would be Polito's restaurant. Because that Mexican restaurant was probably the best I've ever been to. So I'm outside one day, and I'm reading a book, and the window's open, and I hear Shannon and the kids talking inside. So I'm over here sitting down, and behind me, I'm hearing them say, Mom, we want to go to Polito's. I'm thinking, all right, sounds good. I can do that. That's not a problem. Mom says, well, you need to convince your dad that we can go, because I'm okay with going. But now, at this point, I've got two options. I can either just go ahead and get up and go in and say, guys, I've got this great idea. Let's go to Polito's. Everybody's happy. I'm the hero, and we go on to Polito's, right? I could have done that. And we all wish that God would do that, come in and say, look, here it is. Just, here's the plan. Go with it. But sometimes God will do this. He'll sit. And then the kids came out, and they're formulating a plan on how they can convince Dad that we need to go to Polito's restaurant. And they come out and they start telling me, you know, it's been 3 weeks since we've been there. You know, we really should go there again. You know, Mom really hadn't gotten anything for dinner yet, and we can go, right? And, you know, we need to get out of the house a little bit, you know, go out and socialize some. This will be a great opportunity. What do you think, Dad? Well, I heard all that. I had already decided I was going to go. I was just wanting to see what they were going to say. Do you realize sometimes that God already decided how He's going to answer your prayer, and He just wants you to come there and be honest with Him and realize where you're at, and don't try to hide it from Him, but tell Him? If you read through the Psalms, you're going to see raw emotions in the Psalms. You're going to see people coming to God and telling them exactly where they're at. And that's in the Bible. Which means if these people are doing it, why don't we do it? We don't have to put up a front. We just come and pray to God where we're at. And then, Lord, change my heart. Change this situation so that You can get glory out of this. So the first thing is we've got to come to God and we've got to be honest with God. Don't put up a front. The second thing is Hannah prayed specifically to God. She prayed specifically to God. And we can see that in verse 11. Because it says that she came, and in verse 11 it says, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. She's given details about her prayer. She's given, Lord, this is what I want. Here's my grocery list. This is really what I want. She didn't want just a child. She said, I want a son. This is what I truly desire, is to have a son. Not only that, but she also acknowledges who she is. Because when we read verse 11, it says, if you indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and do not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant. What is she? She's a maidservant. Meaning that she is in service to God. And she is saying, I'm coming to you as a servant of yours. And I'm asking you if you'll do this for me. But now, not only that, but she also says who he is. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. And then also in verse, in the very beginning of that verse, it says, O Lord of hosts. That O Lord of hosts, that means that the Lord is the giver of life. And she's coming to him and saying, I know you're the one that gives life. I know you're the one that can grant this. You're the only one that can grant this. And she prayed exactly what she wanted. But sometimes we tend to pray in general. Lord, bless me today. At the end of the day, Lord, thank you for the day. And we don't really give details. God wants details. He wants to hear what we want. He wants to hear all the details. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to get that. But that means we can pray that way. Especially for children. We can pray for our children and be very specific about what we want for our children. Not just, Lord, I hope that they have a good life. But it's more of, Lord, show me how they can serve the Lord better. Lord, prepare them for marriage. Prepare the person they're going to marry so that they can have a happy marriage. There's a book called When Mothers Pray, and it gives a list of some of the things that we can pray for. A few of them are that he or she will come to Christ early and love his word, that he or she will grow in wisdom and in favor with God and those people in his or her life that they're going to influence. So not only that they will grow in wisdom, but they'll be able to use that for others, to draw them closer to God. That as you teach them God's word, that they'll treasure it in their heart, and they'll be able to use that later on. So how do you pray for your kids? Do you do it in general terms, or do you do specifically what you need? But now also you have to remember that praying specifically doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Because also we can see in here in verse 11, she said, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant. She said, if. She's saying, here's my list, but I know it's up to you. So she's not demanding. She's saying, here's what I would like. But I know you're the one that decides whether this is what I need at this point in time. So we're not doing this in a demanding way, but we're doing it saying, Lord, if this is your wish, then this is what I would like. And this is what I would like for my kids. So she prayed. Honestly, she prayed specifically, but she also prayed expectantly, meaning that she thought that this could happen. And we can see this in verse 18. In verse 18, she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, ate, and her face no longer was sad. See, she had prayed, she had poured her heart out to God, And she said, it's in your hands now. And she left it. And when she left there, her face wasn't sad anymore. You know how when you can look at somebody and you can see their face and you can know something's going on? You can just read their face and realize. My wife can look at me and tell what kind of emotion I've got at that point in time, because we've been around each other so long. She can say, you were angry at this point, or you were happy at this point. And I'll say, oh, you can read me like a book. Man, that's not good. But see, you could read her face. She wasn't sad anymore. She had given it over to God, and she was expecting Him to do something. And she left it with Him. She knew He was capable of fulfilling the prayer that she just gave. She knew about the history of the Israelites, how God had delivered them from the Egyptians. She knew all that. She knew that God could do anything that He wanted. So she prayed to Him and said, here is my request. Will you answer it for me? But now the other thing is that when we do this, when we request it, it's more of a request and not a demand. That we're saying, God, I know you can do this, so you better do this. That's not what she had there. So our prayers are requests to God, but they're not demands. We do them understanding that if they line up with God's will, then that's where He will answer it. If they're out of God's will, then He's not going to answer them that way. One of the most misused verses probably in the Bible is John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Because it says this, it says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You ever heard anybody use that one saying, look, I'm going to pray in God's name and He's going to do it. Because His Word says He'll do it. That's not the intention of this. Because if you go back and read it, it says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Meaning that God's the one that's going to get the glory, which means it has to be in God's will. And it's not a open, I can ask God anything and He'll do it because I said it in Jesus' name. But it's, I'm asking because it's God's will, and if it's God's will, then He'll do it. That's what this verse means. By God's will, so that God gets the glory. He's the one that gets the glory. So we're never in a position to demand things from God. We can ask, but we don't demand. Alright, so she prayed honestly, specifically, and expectingly. And the last thing that we can see is, give the Lord thanks for an answered prayer. Give the Lord thanks for an answered prayer. And we can see this one starting in chapter 2. It says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. You see, He had answered her prayer. She had a son. Her son was Samuel. And she did like she said she was going to do. She gave him over to the Lord. But not only did she follow through with what she said, but she gave thanks to God. She thanked Him for answering that prayer. Sometimes we can get caught up in life because it seems like our life's going so fast that we can pray about something, God will answer it, and we forget to say thanks. And we keep going on with life because we're at such a breakneck speed that we can't slow down. And we can't stop and say thanks. But she stops everything and she prays and gives thanks. In fact, in verse 7 and 8 it says, the Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. See, she's thanking Him for what He's done, and she's telling Him who He is. You're the one and the only one that can do this. and she's thanking him for who he is. She also followed through with her request because she said, if I have this son, he's yours. And I'll give him over to you. So what happens? And verse 20, it says, it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived and that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. But then she goes up and gives him over to Eli at the temple and says, here he is. That it says in here that she did it after he was weaned, and that after being weaned was about 3 years. So she kept him for 3 years. And then after 3 years, she took him up to Eli at the temple and said, here, this is because of what I asked God and what I promised God I would do. And I'm following through with that promise. But also, in verse 24, she doesn't just say it, but then it says, now, when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with the three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. And they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And there he worshiped the Lord there. She reminded him of what she was that woman 3 years ago that came up bearing her soul to God. And now she's saying, God is the one that answered the prayer. Now God's the one that's going to get the glory because he answered the prayer. And she made sure that he knew. So let me ask you this. When God answers prayers, first of all, do we thank him? Second of all, do we let others know that he answered a prayer for us? She thanked him, but she also went before Eli and said, here's the reason I'm bringing him to you. It's because I promised this of God. And I want you to know what God did for me. We have to do the same. When God answers a prayer for us, we don't hold it in, but we share it. Let me tell you what my God did for me. So that when others start going through hard times, they can say, wait a minute, he answered your prayer. I need to do the same thing. And they'll be drawn closer to God. And that's what she did. But also we can see in chapter 2, verse 19, she didn't just stop there after 3 years. In verse 19 it says, and his mother, like a good mother would do, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice. See, she didn't just offer him up and say, here he is. She went in every year, she brought him a new robe, and she checked on him and made sure how he was doing. Does that sound like a mom? A mom would want to make sure that he was clothed and that he's doing okay and everything's good. That was her. She was checking on him every year, year after year. So let me ask you this today, as we close here. How are you praying for your kids? How do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for them? Now, I know some of you are going to say, yeah, but I'm a grandparent. Doesn't matter. Your kids still need prayer. Now you've got grandkids. That just means you've got an extra kid to pray for. So don't say that my kids are out. No, you've got more now. You've got extra ones to pray for. God knows that you've got more time to pray, and he's going to give you more kids to pray for. So it never stops praying for your kids. That never stops. You never stop being a parent. You're always a parent to them. You're always there to guide them when they need you. So let me ask you, how are you praying for your children? Are you just praying for the needs or the life? Are you doing like Hannah and just being honest to God about what's going on in their lives and what's going on in your life? What if you're here today and you're like, I don't have kids. This doesn't apply to me. When Hannah was making this prayer, she didn't have kids. It applies to all of us. See, we should all be praying honestly before God, telling Him where we're at, how we feel, what's going on in our life. We should also all be praying specifically about the details of our life, because God cares about the details of our life. In fact, it says in the Bible that God knows the hairs on our head. You realize that? And I joke, but mine decrease every day. But God keeps track of how many is decreasing every day. But He knows that much detail about us. That's how much He cares about us. Is that He is a detail person. Not a hands-off, but He wants the details. So we pray honestly to Him. We pray specifically about the details. But we also pray expecting Him to take action. And that action will be what He chooses to do. What is His will for our lives? We can give Him the situation, but at the same time, we've also got to give Him over the ownership of it and let Him answer it however He's going to answer it. So how do you pray this morning? And maybe somebody's here that they say, well, look, I don't even know this God. I don't even pray to Him because I don't know Him. The first prayer you should say to Him is, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I do wrong. And I know that the only way that I can come to know You is through Your Son and what He did for me on the cross and what He did for me at the tomb. And Lord, that's the only way that I can come to You. And Lord, I'm just going to pray to You now. Forgive me for what I've done. And I'm putting my faith, my trust, my hope in You and what You did for me on the cross. If you want to say that prayer today, I'm going to be down front during the invitation time. And I'll be glad to pray it with you. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I haven't been praying the way I should for my kids. The altar's open. You can come and just pray to them. Pray to God and say, look, here I am. This is honestly where I'm at. Help me to do a better job. But don't go away from this thinking that was a good message. Go away from it saying, I need to change. I need to start praying like she did. I need to come closer to God like she did. Because that's when we start changing. That's when we start growing closer to Him. Is when we're honest with Him and give Him the results. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You just that we can celebrate moms. And we can see here that a mother just wanted a child. She wasn't even a mother, but she wanted a child. And she came to You and she prayed and poured her heart out. She didn't care what others thought. She just wanted You to know how she felt. Lord, I pray that we can all pray that honestly also. Lord, I also pray that that we will pray specifically about the things that we need. No general terms, but Lord, that we get into the details so that You can get into the details of our life. And Lord, we pray expecting You to work something out in our life. Because Lord, You promise us that You'll never leave us, You'll never forsake us. Because of that means You're going to answer our prayers. We may not like the answer we get, but it's Your will, and we know Your will is perfect. But at the same time, we need to give it over to You. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I would just ask that You press upon them today how important it is that they come to know You so that they can come and cry out to You when times are going bad and You promise that You'll be there for Your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.